Welcome to the Frugal Family Home Podcast, where my goal is to help you be more intentional with your time, your money, and your life. I'm your host, Shelley Olson, from frugalfamilyhome.com. Welcome to episode 55 of the Frugal Family Home Podcast. Today we're talking about meal planning myths. I get so many comments from people telling me their biggest struggle is what to cook for dinner every single night. It's easy to think meal planning is hard, but the truth is anything that is new to you is going to be hard at first. And meal planning is no different. Like when we decided we were not going to eat out for 12 weeks to save money. At first, it was really hard, but then after a couple weeks, I started planning our breakfast, lunch, and dinners, and it became so much easier. Now we are actually 6 years out from those 12 weeks because we extended it quite a bit. And while we've eaten out, we've only eaten out 6 times in 6 years. And that is a big difference from 2 to 3 times a week. But like I said, it was hard at first. And now I don't even think about eating out anymore. It's weird but true. And the reason why I don't is I just meal plan. You don't have to forgo eating out. Some people really love eating out and that's wonderful for them. But if you're eating out when you would rather eat at home, wouldn't it be nice to go out to eat just when you wanted to and not because it was a last resort to feeding your family? Meal planning can bridge the gap from where you are now with meals to where you want to be. Let's get to those meal planning myths. Myth number one, meal planning is for large families. While it can be helpful for large families, sure, it can work just as good for individuals, couples, and smaller families. When you have a meal plan, you use what you buy and you buy what you're going to use. And there's a lot less food waste, which helps you to save money. And meal planning can really be quick and easy, about 15 minutes to figure out what you're going to cook for the week. And then you don't have to think about it again. Meal planning can actually work for just about everyone. Myth number two, meal planning takes too much time. While at first, it may take some time initially, but meal planning can really save you time during the week. Not only in thinking about what to cook, because if you don't have a plan, each day you have to think about what you're going to cook. And let's say you spend 10 minutes every day deciding, finding what you have on hand and what you're going to cook. That is 70 minutes a week that you're spending on meal planning. Even if you don't think it's meal planning, you are because you're figuring out what to cook. Do you think that you could come up with a few meals in less than 70 minutes and write a grocery list? I would think you could. It can also save you time because you only need to shop once a week, which minimizes your grocery trips instead of going a couple times a week to get what you need for certain meals. You make your plan, you make your grocery list, you shop once, and you're done. Actually cutting down the amount of time that you have to think about meals and cutting down the amount of time you grocery shop, things like that. So it can save you time. Myth number three is you have to cook every meal from scratch. While you could if you wanted to, the truth is you can cook whatever type of meal you like. You can use convenience foods and box foods. You can buy rotisserie chicken and build your meals around that. You can buy a ready-made frozen dinner for dinners if you like. Meal planning can just fit how you want to cook. If it's a busy week and you want to pick up a rotisserie chicken and make 2 or 3 meals out of that, and then at the end of the week, you're just going to use frozen dinners that you could throw in the microwave really fast, that is a meal plan. It doesn't have to mean you have to cook from scratch. When you make a meal plan, you can think ahead, oh, I'm only going to have a few minutes here, a few minutes there to get dinner done before we have to be out the door. And it can actually help you plan ahead so you can make the meals that will actually fit your schedule. That was meal planning myth number three. Now, our fourth myth is meal plans must be rigid or inflexible. And a good meal plan can be flexible. You can plan your meals, and then if you don't feel like cooking, whatever you have planned for that night, you can switch it with another day. I do that all the time. You can plan to eat out, so you're not going to be cooking that night at all, and you'll have a plan for where you want to go. So you can just say, oh, tonight we're going out to wherever, and you just go. Saves the stress of where do you want to go eat and trying to pick a place to eat up. You can decide what you plan for a particular night just won't work. And it's okay to push that meal idea off until early in the next week. You can make your meal plans work for you. Myth number 5 is meal planning is only good for people on diets. Well, it's true. Meal planning can help people on a diet because it can help them be prepared for what they need to eat on their diet so they can stick to it. It can also help for others because when you have a meal plan, you have the ingredients on hand for what you want to cook each night for dinner. You don't have to worry about running out to get ingredients because you're already prepared and you know what you're going to cook. And when you have a meal plan, it's easier to eat what you've purchased and not let ingredients go to waste. The next myth is myth number 6, which is it's expensive to meal plan. I think a lot of people, when they start meal planning 5 or 7 meals a week, they see their grocery bill going up. But I think the way to combat this is to give yourself a challenge. If you're worried about meal planning being too expensive for you or raising the cost of your meals, try to record the amount you spend for your week of groceries and the amount you eat out. Save all your receipts each time you go grocery shopping that week. And each time you eat out, just save your receipts. And at the end of the week, just total them up. Then the next week, plan to eat all your meals at home, whatever kind of meals you want to make. Go grocery shop once that week and eat all your meals at home. I think you'll find that while you may spend more than on groceries and ingredients than the week before, I think when you add in your eating out with your groceries compared to just having groceries, you'll find that it is less expensive when you have a meal plan. And what's great about meal planning is you can think ahead, use ingredients that are on sale, and you can incorporate in budget-friendly meals and ingredients into your meal plan to help keep your overall cost of your dinners that week down. Now we'll go on to myth number 7. You need fancy tools or apps to meal plan. And while there's a lot of them out there, the only thing you need is a piece of paper and a pencil and some ideas for dinner. And then all you have to do is record what you're going to make for dinner, make your grocery list, and move on. And you're done. So you don't need any fancy apps or anything like that. Even though they can be helpful, it's not necessary at all. Myth number 8 is you have to eat the same meals all the time. Now, I know people who plan the same meals every single week, buy the same ingredients, and cook the same meals every single week, or they extend it out to every month. They eat the same meals. And there is nothing wrong with meal planning that way. Some people find that in a busy season of life, that is the easiest way for them to get their families fed. And that's great for them. But our family likes to have a lot of variety in our meals. So we don't tend to eat the same meals all the time at all. So you can meal plan and you can add variety in. You can rotate recipes. You can try incorporating those new recipes or new ideas in. Helps you not get stuck on the same old meals unless you want to, and it's easier for you. Our myth number 9 is meal planning is only for highly organized people. And I'd have to say, if that was true, then I would be the worst meal planner in the world because I am not very organized. The truth is even if you feel less organized, you can still meal plan. And it's not that hard. You might want to start with 1 or 2 meals a week and then build on that. Once you're more comfortable with planning 1 to 2 meals a week, you can add another meal and so on. And soon you'll just be a meal planning pro if you stick with it. But you don't have to be highly organized because if you did, I would not be good at meal planning. And our final myth number 10, is you need to plan every single meal and snack. And while when we were making a transition from eating out to eating all of our meals at home, I found that planning every single meal and having things on hand for snacks was beneficial. But now I only plan dinners. I always have ingredients on hand for breakfast because we eat the same breakfast every morning, egg or sausage and toast with peanut butter and jelly on it. And that's what we do for our breakfast during the week. And then on the weekends, we have something more special like waffles or pancakes or breakfast sandwiches, things like that. Lunches at our house are mainly leftovers, sandwiches with vegetables or fruit, or a salad in the summertime when we're growing lettuce in our garden, or just soup and half a sandwich. It's just simple and easy, and I always have items on hand to make those. Dinners is where most people struggle, so just planning dinners can work out great for most people. And that is what I found. Once you get used to what you like for breakfast and lunches, you can just buy those ingredients and keep them on hand and make those meals and have things for snacks too if you eat snacks, and then just plan the dinners. And I think you'll feel like that is an easy way to get started. And if you're going through a life transition, like when we decided not to eat out anymore, it was helpful to plan each meal. And now I don't even really have to think about it because it just becomes second nature to you. And it becomes very easy to plan. So those are 10 meal planning myths. I hope this helped alleviate some stress pain points for you with meal planning. And I hope that you would give meal planning a try because I really think it can be beneficial to meal plan. You can save money, cut your food waste, and just eat better high quality food when you meal plan. If you still feel like you need more help, which I can understand, I have a few products that can help you. You can go to plateandplan.com. It can help you plan meals in just minutes. All you need to do is answer a few questions like, how many people are you cooking for? What is your food preferences? How many meals do you want to make? What kind of meals do you want to make? And you answer those questions, and then it will take you through the process of offering you different ideas for dinner. And then when you're all done, it'll actually give you a meal plan, a list of recipes, and a grocery list that you can just copy and paste into a notes app in your phone, and you can go to the grocery store and shop. It's really simple and easy. Only takes about 5 minutes to go through the whole process. I've done it many times, and it works really well. I also have my meal planning simplified course. It's the process that I use to meal plan each week in about 15 minutes. It will teach you how to always have meal ideas ready to go, how to plan and create your grocery list in one step, and how to use leftovers in new meals so your family won't complain. It's an actual course. If you feel like you want to know how I meal plan and my system step by step by step. And I also am planning on offering ready-made meal plans soon. These plans will be focused on easy to make meals based on less expensive ingredients to help you feed your family well on a budget. I'll have links to all of these resources in the show notes, and information where you can get on the wait list for the ready-made meal plans too, if that's something that'll interest you and you want to try out. You can find all these resources at frugalfamilyhome.com/podcast/55. That's it for this episode. I hope this helped you out. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.